Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it's me, and I'm back September the 2nd, 2014. That's right. It's back. It's here. Start of football season this week. Football season is upon us. The NFL is upon us, and we're going to break it down this week. We're going to chop it up. We have the return of the Blues Brothers. These guys are incredible when it comes to their picks. We're going to have them on the show. We're also going to break down some of the divisions that we didn't get a chance to, the NFC South and the NFC West, as well as the AFC West. Talk about who are the five most important people in the game of basketball. You know, some guys that wield power that we don't even know who they are or who they are, and they're most influential. Listen, Kevin Durant decided not to leave Nike and stay with Nike. He took he took 10 years, $285 million from Nike as compared to $265 million over 10 years from Under Armour. Incredible. Breaking news, Wes Welker has been suspended for PED. 4 games he's gone. I don't know whether or not it was really going to make a decision, that much of a dramatic concussions, and we'll have to see how that plays out. Robert Irsay was suspended 6 games and fined $500,000. That does not sit well with some of the players in the Players Association. We'll see how that basically plays out. Michael Sam being cut. Big deal, no deal, or just a media creation? You know, we'll sit around and chop that up. Also, the first week of college football. Wow, an incredible week. And let me tell you something. Todd Gurley from Georgia, he did some amazing things this past week. Gurley is he's a beast. That's what I can say. And James Winston, all I can say, he's cool and calm under pressure. The baseball pennants are heating up, but literally over maybe 30 games left in the season. Who's going to play it out? Who's going to do what, when, where, and how? And I see that. I'm going to the board, and I'm talking to my girl, Dana Dane. We got into it earlier. I said, this might be it for the Yankees. She didn't like that. I'm going to hear what she has to say on the air. Dana Dane, are you with me?
What's up, Ray?
What's going on? You sound like they're over.
All right, now wait. Now don't try to make me out to be the bad guy, because you know how you came at me. You were like, "Are the Yankees done?" How do you think I'm going to react to that?
I didn't say are they done. I said, "Do you think it's over? Do you think it's
okay,
over?" Let's be honest.
This is the same thing.
Let's be honest.
This is the same thing. No, I don't. Because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, all the wild card teams are playing each other. So somebody's got to lose. You know, somebody's got to lose those games. The Yankees just have to step it up, and they have to beat the teams that they need to beat. They're playing Boston. That'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gain those games in your division. That'll be good. You know, Seattle's playing like Oakland, and Cleveland playing like the A's. So it's like everybody's playing each other. Let's get this over with. Move these other teams out of the way, because right now we're not in a good spot. We're like 5 games back. I'm not liking it at all.
Listen, Dave, let me ask you a question. What seems to be the major problem this year? Is it the injuries? Is it, you know, is it the aging players that's just not delivering? You know, Beltran is, you don't know, day to day, who's playing third?
The injuries are, of course, always going to be an issue. But you know what? Really, right now, it's do or die. You know, Cardinals just came back in the Central. Now they're in first place. It's like the Brewers were in first place since April. And it's like the Cardinals just came back, and it's like, boom, knocked them right out of first place. So right now, they need to step up right now. Now is when it counts. I don't care what you did for the last 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
You need to step it up right now. It's do or die right now. I don't want to talk about what's been happening. It starts now. September. This is it.
September.
Do or die.
This is
we'll see. We'll see.
So you're saying every game is a playoff game. From this point on, every game is a playoff game.
Everybody, you're fighting right now. You're scratching. Because it's not like a lot of seasons past where it was just wide open. You know, whoever was leading the division had this big, wide gap, and they were all good and they were comfortable. You know, it's really not a whole lot of teams out there feeling comfortable right now. So, we'll see.
So let me ask you this, Dana. What seems to be, you know, I think they're 4.5 games out of the wild card position. What has to come together? Is it the pitching? Is it the hitting? You know, they've had several meetings in terms of let's get this thing together. You know, it's a hodgepodge of collection of players. Some days they go off, they were on a 5-game winning streak. Everybody's like, oh, you got to watch out. Then they turn around and blow some games.
But, I mean, it's all that. It's like your pitching has to come together. I'm feeling pretty confident that Tanaka's going to come back. I think Tanaka's going to be back. That would definitely help. You know, the pitching's got to come together, the hitting. But, I mean, it's everything. It's, you know what baseball is. It's like that witch's brew of you got to have a little magic, you got to have a little luck, you got to have some good plays, some good defense. It's, you got to have all that. So we'll just see if they can make it happen. I mean, it is what it is. This is what we're facing. I know everybody's like, yay, the Yankees aren't going to make it to the playoffs. We're not out yet. So we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. We will definitely get a peek at that as we come down the stretch, see who's going to do what. Tanaka's going to be a key if he can bounce back. I think they should shelve him. It's just, you know, it's too risky.
No,
are
you kidding?
It's too risky of a deal.
No.
It's too risky of a deal.
No, they paid too much money for him. You know what? No. Stop pampering these dudes. It's like, I get it. Oh, you don't want him to re-injure. I get that, but guess what? Guess how many millions I'm paying you? Get your butt out there and do what you get paid to do. Get your butt out there and get picked.
I don't care how much I pay you. You better get out there right now.
You better get out there and make it happen, because right now is all that counts. Because you got 6 months that you're getting ready to be sitting there nursing your arm. Right now,
you better go to school. Dana, my leg is broken. I don't care where you're going, but you're going to school. My arm is falling off. You get out of his house right now. I'm going to call the kids later on. I'm going to have a one-on-one with them. Dana says, play time. Play, don't play. You're out of here. Forget about tomorrow.
Exactly.
You know who you remind me of, though, the way you're talking? You're talking like the Dukes in Trading Places. It's over. No, get back in there. Get back in there.
Hey, it's not over. We still got a whole month of baseball left. It's not over at all. It's not
all
over.
All right, Dana, Dave.
You got to believe.
Dana, listen. Listen, I love your compassion. If the Yankees don't make it, you know, this is going to be a terrible thing, a terrible way for Derek Jeter to go out. Who's your team that you're looking at in the American League that's really, you know, because even look, Oakland was riding high, and I think ever since they made that trade, they've been faltering. And here comes Kansas City.
I already told you, watch those Angels. Keep an eye on them Angels. I'm telling you. They're the ones to watch. They're going to be ones that somebody's going to have to contend with. And, yeah, keep an eye on those Angels. My Yankees will be there. Just watch and see. But if stuff happens, keep an eye on those Angels.
All right, David Dane, I'm going to keep an eye on them because you say so. David Dane is spoken. Okay. All hail the queen. The queen of the show, David Dane. Dana, we going to talk off the air. I will be talking to you off here. Listen, sweetheart, have a good week. It's always my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, Dana Dane. She makes this thing pop. Oh, no doubt about it. Listen up, ladies and gentlemen. We had a segment last year. We had these brothers call the, what do we call them? We call them the Blue Brothers. And they were number one in their picks. They did a fantastic job. We're going to bring them back real quick. We're going to let them spit it out because we got a real big show. It's Bryson Brown from Raleigh, North Carolina. Bryson Brown, are you with me?
I'm with you, bro. How you doing this afternoon, this evening?
Well, man, you know, I spoke to Bryson earlier. I was a little slow. I couldn't get my right arm. But I'm back, baby. Bryson said, go get pumped up. So I sat on the trainer's table and talked to the trainer. And I'm going to my man, it's been almost, it's been a long time. It shouldn't have left us. Yeah, I'm putting my LB and Rakim. Welcome back, Mark Gordon.
Brother Ray, Brother Bryson, what's up?
All right, my man, how are you?
All right, I'm doing good,
man. You've been
gone
for so long, I wasn't sure that 516 was you, baby. I was like, 516, 516, let me see. Hey, we ain't going to play around.
Hey, I was in the grocery store, and I saw Mark on a milk carton.
Started from the bottom, now I'm here.
All right, brothers, I'm going to ring the bell. We're going to get it on because we got other things that we want to do with the show. Mark,
we're going to roll through this first game, the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers. The Super Bowl champs is still the best team in the league, and I'm giving Seattle the victory over Green Bay in that one.
I have to agree with you there. I got the Seahawks over the Packers. Seahawks too tough at home.
All right. The New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons, they always play a tough game against each other. And they're in the same division, and I'm going with New Orleans to start the game. I personally don't like when teams have the rivalries first game of the season, but I think this should be a good one, and I'm going with New Orleans over Atlanta.
I agree with you there as well. Falcons had an awful year last year. I don't see them improving much this year. I got the Saints rolling.
All right. The Minnesota Vikings and the St. Louis Rams. The Rams have some problem with a quarterback with Sam Bradford going down. I think that's going to really get them off to a slow start. I'm going with Minnesota, even though they are still having, you know, some identity problems at the quarterback position as well. But I'm going with Minnesota. I think Adrian Peterson will have a big game.
NFC West, baby. Rams got the best front seven maybe in the league. Vikings are still weak. I got the Rams over the Vikings.
All right. Pittsburgh still is in the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland, I don't know what's going on there. I'm going with Pittsburgh, even though they got some issues in the running back positions with their two top running backs getting, you know, catching the charge for possession. But they should be playing in this first game of the season. So I'm going with Pittsburgh over Cleveland.
I got Johnny Football coming in the second quarter, lighting it up, but I still got the Steelers winning the game.
Hey, Johnny, touchdown. I think he's going to be in for a rude awakening. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars made some big improvements, but not enough to beat the Eagles. I think the Eagles' offense is just going to be too much for them.
I don't see the big improvements that the Jaguars made. I got the Eagles as the class of the NFC East. I got the Eagles rolling over the Jaguars.
Okay, the New York Jets and the Oakland Raiders. I got Mark's team when he's at home visiting with the family over the Raiders in this one. And I think we're going to be getting a big surprise with the Jets this year. I think they're going to win the division, to be honest with you.
I'm going by to watch this game with Dad. This is one of the few games this year that I think they'll be favored in. Me and Dad all the way, J-E-T-S, Jets over the Raiders.
You heard it. Mark will be pulling out that Jets jersey and sitting with Pop. The Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. I got Baltimore over Cincinnati. A lot of people's picking Cincinnati to win the division, but I think Baltimore is going to have one of the best defenses in the league, and I think it's going to be a tough time for Cincinnati.
I think the Ravens have regrouped from last year. You know, that purge they did the year before, they've got another year together. They're going to gel as a team. I got them this week, but I do have the Bengals winning that division, though. But I got the Ravens this week.
All right. Chicago Bears and the Buffalo Bills. And I almost pulled a surprise pick here with the Bills beating Chicago, but at the last minute I decided to go with Chicago.
I don't know what you see in Buffalo that I don't. And the Bears may be the favorite to win the NFC North. So I got the Bears rolling over the Bills. I don't see this as a contest at all.
I like Buffalo's defense. I think, like you said about, you know, about Cleveland. I mean, their defense is seven. You know, they get to the quarterback, and I think that's going to be a big factor in that game. But let's move on. The Washington Redskins and the Houston Texans. And I'm going with the Redskins over Houston, not because I'm a Redskins fan, but, you know, I think Houston's still searching for an identity. And, you know, I think it's going to take for a few games for them to get it going.
Outside the Lines is doing a special right now on why Snyder will not change the name of that team. I may refuse to say it, but I have that team winning over the Texans this weekend.
All right. I thought you were refusing to say the 49ers, but we'll get to that later.
That's a whole other issue.
The dumbest team in the league. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans. I got Kansas City over Tennessee.
So do I. I don't see the Titans putting up a contest in here. They just paid my man for the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs rolling in this one.
All right. Miami Dolphins and New England Patriots. And that's this is my upset of the week. I'm pulling for Miami over New England.
You're pulling for Miami over New England. But
you can pull on you.
What criteria are you using that makes you believe they're going to win
this game? I'm pulling for Miami over New England. Got a couple New England fans down here that are getting on my nerves. So I'm pulling for Miami over New England.
This is the secret to my picks, and it's no real secret. I think the best team wins, you know, 9 times out of 10. So in this case, I got the Patriots over the Dolphins. I don't know why you would pick otherwise, but I got the Patriots.
All right, don't be surprised if they lose.
Okay.
Carolina Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this was a tough pick for me, but I'm going with Carolina over Tampa Bay.
I like the Panthers as well. They were strong last year. They lost a lot of people. They have no receivers left, but I still think they have enough to beat the Buccaneers.
All right, here we go. The San Francisco, I refuse to say their name, and the Dallas Cowboys. I just want to know, How do you catch a domestic violence charge a week after the new policy? But we won't go there. I'm going with San Francisco over the worst defense in the history of the NFL, I think, this year. I mean, but it's the first game of the season, so I'm probably wrong. They're not going to be the worst. But they got some issues on defense. Dallas is going to have a tough time stopping a lot of teams this year. And they just picked up Michael Sams, I see. But I don't think that'll help. I think San Francisco. And I thought
Michael Sams.
Oh, yeah, it's looking like you're going to find Michael Sams.
Yeah, Michael Sams has a physical with the Cowboys, I understand, tomorrow. As far as the San Quentin 49ers, I don't know how the ink didn't even dry on the policy, and this dude stepped out and did what he did. I have no sympathy for them. I feel he should be cut right away. But that's just my personal opinion. As far as this game is concerned, I got the 49ers over the Cowboys because even a weakened 49er team can beat the Cowboys, but I don't have much hope for the division for the 49ers this year.
I totally agree with you, bro. Denver Broncos and the Indianapolis Colts. I got Peyton Manning returning to Indianapolis and putting on a show. I got Denver over Indianapolis.
I agree with you. I don't know about the show that he's going to put on, but I think it's going to be a tough game. This was my toughest pick of the week, but I also have the Broncos over the Colts this week.
All right. The Detroit Lions and the New York Giants. I got Detroit over New York. I think Matt Stafford is going to have a really good game against the New York Giants secondary. And, you know, I think they're going to be a little bit hungrier than they have in the past. And they did some they made some pickups on defensive secondary that should help them a lot this year.
My brother from the same mother, his son, everybody around me are Giants fans. And sorry, bro, but I got the Lions. The Lions over the Giants. Because the Giants are going to be terrible this year. They were bad last year. They're going to be terrible this year.
Yeah, I'm really starting to wonder if Mike is really from New York. I mean, he might be from Rochester or somewhere.
I'm from just outside of San Quentin.
He's anti New York.
San Francisco connection. I don't know. Go ahead.
He's acting like he's from Poughkeepsie. All right. Arizona Cardinals and the San Diego Chargers in the last game. I got Arizona over San Diego. I think Arizona is going to be one of the teams to beat in the NFC.
Yeah, I have Arizona supplanting my 49ers for the wild card out of the West. I think they're going to start big over the Chargers. My surprise team of the year are the Cardinals, so I agree with you there.
All right. It's been great to get back on the air with my brother, Mark Gordon. Thank you, my brother.
Mark, my
blood is boiling. Hey. Go ahead.
My man, I don't even know. I'm so excited. I don't even know what to say. Listen, can you stay with us for a minute or you got to run?
No, I'm here.
All right. Well, I'm going to put Bryson on mute. I'm going to give you a minute or so to say whatever you have to say. Then I'm going to keep you on. I'm going to do my Don Cornelius comeback. I got a couple of callers that we're going to hit the board and ask a series of questions. You know, we do some picks, we talk about some topics, and we chop it up. So I'm going to put Bryson on hold. We'll get back to you in a second, Bryson. This is Mark's time.
All right.
Anything that you want to talk about, Mark? Go ahead. The world is yours.
I'm just very proud of what you're putting together here, Brother Ray. You know, even though I've been away, I've been keeping my eye on what's going on, and you're building an empire that's second to none. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the Lincoln family for supporting you. I got to get my picture of my Talk to Me T-shirt on and get out front because this is something that's growing that's going to be major, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
And I want to thank you for coming on board. This is, you know, like I tell people all the time, when I get a chance and opportunity to speak, you got good brothers and sisters from around the country come together, and it's a positive thing. And I always respect and I'm humbled by it because we just came together. This is what we do. You know, I tell people we would be doing this whether we were at Lincoln in a barbershop, in the basement of a house, just kicking it. And so it's time for us to come together collectively. We have roughly 6 shows, and we're growing. We're looking at doing some streaming. I wanted to get up to Lincoln Cheney game this week to possibly do a show on Thursday, but we didn't hear back from them. But we're looking at the possibility of going to HBCU colleges and doing shows from there on a Saturday morning, especially football season. And definitely we've already got an invite from a couple when basketball season rolls around. So it's an opportunity to grow the brand and get people involved. But enough of that. How have you been? What's cooking? I know we got a lot of things burning since you left us. I'm going to put you on hold and bring you back because the panel is always the panel. We've got a host of things here, and we're also going to pick, like I said earlier, we're going to pick the division winners of the South and the West as well as the AFC West. I'm going to put you on hold, Mark, and I'm going to bring you back, all right?
Okay.
Thank you very much. That's my man. That's my man right there, y'all. I'm going up to 757. That's Virginia, but I know he's in New York City. Talk to me, Sports, you're on the air. What you got for me?
Yo, what up, Ray?
Kyrie, that's you. Talk to me, baby.
All right, real quick. First off, I want to talk about, like, the whole Kevin Durant re-signing with Nike thing. Like, I think that, to me, like, from, like, I guess, like, a sneaker culture type of view, it was a good look because I don't think him being with Under Armour would have, like, made much of a difference, like, for their sales. And truthfully, like, I don't think Under Armour would have marketed him as much as he's getting marketed by Nike right now because they have a whole bunch of other players in the NBA under their umbrella, and look how they're marketing them right now. Not that well. So,
yeah, I think they're the new kid on the block, and I think when it comes to sneaker apparel, but they're struggling. I think where Under Armour really hits the mark is in athletic gear, apparel. The only other player that they have that I know has Stephon Curry, and they're not really marketing him well. Listen, this is nothing compared to the big giant, which is Nike. Nike's going to roll out that money, but the amount of money he's going to make is incredible. Oh, God.
It is.
Incredible.
It is incredible.
He's on his way.
And I guess it's a good thing because, one, endorsement-wise, like, this will probably be the biggest endorsement he'll ever get at this point right now because all the money right now, like, in the NBA is being thrown at LeBron, Melo, even Derrick Rose, like, if he makes a huge comeback, he's going to be getting, like, endorsements like crazy all over again besides the one he already has with Adidas.
Wow. Let me say this. One of the things that we definitely want to talk about later on is that the amount of impact that the shoes companies have with regards to basketball, football, sports in general. I mean, the amount of money is, where is this money coming from? Who has a hold on it? And we're going to chop that up. You bring it right off the top, man, and you know I always appreciate what you do, so I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to get back to this conversation because we got a lot of listeners on the line, but we're going to come back and we're going to break it up with the panel, all right?
Definitely. All right.
My man.
Kyrie starts it right off. He ain't even waiting. Boom, bop. I'm going to the 215. I'm the 215. I'm going to the 267. It's all Philadelphia to me, baby. Talk to me, sports. You're on the air.
Big homie, what it do?
My man, where you been? You know,
man,
I almost sent the APB to the city of Brotherly Love and William Texas for you last week, baby.
Yeah,
what's going
man,
on?
They working me like a slave, man. Working me like a slave. Long hours, no pay. Story of my life.
Okay.
Story of my life.
Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We got families to take care of until we become ESPN2 or whatever, until we make it Triple XL. Talk to
yes,
me, baby.
Sir.
Talk
yes,
to me.
Talk about my birds, man. You know, I'm pretty excited for the season. Just going over my bird schedule. I know that I'm looking at where we'll be, where we're going to end the season by 11-5. Definitely 11-5. We will win a division. I only see us losing maximum one game in our division. And that's going to be a fluke, and that's definitely going to be a fluke, you know. But I think that, you know, with the loss of DeSean Jackson, we definitely have a lot of key players. We got a lot of fillers. We don't have that outright dynamic receiver. However, collectively as a team, man, look, we're going to pull together, and we're gonna have some exciting games this year. And I think we definitely will come out on top.
I think the make and break. I think that they have the MVP of that division is hands down McCoy. He's a game changer. I don't see any team, you know, even as much as I follow the Giants, I don't see Eli's a wild card. If he could stand up, you just never know with Eli. You know, he's a tricky character. I'm not feeling RG3. I don't know what's going on out there with his confidence, his shot. I don't really know what's going on. Dallas, you have Romo, but then Romo and what else? So, the key's going to be how folks handle the pressure going into his second full year of actually being underneath the center. That's going to be the key to me.
Yeah, but I think that I think with RG3, it's crazy because they put in Washington's whole future on this man's back. He's not. I think that they ran him too hard as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
They ran him too hard. They brought him back too soon. I think that you know he definitely lacks confidence. He had a decent sophomore year. However, he's not panning out to be that explosive quarterback as they thought he was. He's not even measuring up to Luck. You know, you got Andrew Luck come over with Indianapolis, and this boy, I mean, he took off. He's dynamic in every sense of a quarterback, and I think that with RG3, they're just looking at him as a good black quarterback. They're not critiquing him as a dynamic all around athlete. So, but I think that, you know, Washington definitely won't stack up this year. When you look at New York is always a wild card because Eli can pull something out of his butt. So you never know with New York. However, I think that New York probably will finish at the bottom of the division, even with Dallas, who I hate. They suck, but it's just one of them things. But by far, Eagles will demolish this division, definitely.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to bring you back with the panel. My man, it makes interesting comments here, Bell up in Philadelphia. It's a lot, man. It's a lot going on in the This NFL season.
Tell
me what's going on
there,
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
What's going on? It's LP. How's everybody doing? How you doing?
L to the P. What's good, brother? What's good with you?
I'm good. Yo, I'm thoroughly enjoying the show, man. I actually don't even want to take a lot of time talking. I liked the little segment, but Bryson and my brother Mark Gordon. It was so good to hear from him. That was a good segment, man, and then the preceding callers. Very good, man. So I don't really want to take up a lot of time. The only thing I want to say is, how come you and Danny keep talking about these Yankees? Aren't they 5.5 games behind the Phillies? Look at that.
Behind the Phillies or behind the Orioles? The Yankees, I tried, you know, here's the thing. Danny hits me up. I sent to her this morning. I said, the Yankees done? She said, no, they're not done. It takes you. You got to Dana, I said to her, I said, you remind me of the Dukes in Shady Places. Sir,
I
the
heard
stock
you.
Market is closed. Get back in there. Get back in there. We've owned this for 200 years.
Yeah, I heard you. I heard that. But no,
she's passionate.
The last brother.
She's listening.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
My brother made a good point. I actually agree with him on as it relates to the Eagles. But it's just so iffy. I don't know if I've ever come into a year, and I don't mean just with the Eagles, but with so many teams, if you look at each division, there's, you know, maybe the Patriots, you'll say, okay, the Patriots will win. But I'm not so gung-ho to say Seattle is going to just have another bang-out year and pull out another, you know, a Super Bowl. I mean, it's not like
right. –
His name escapes me now, but the quarterback, his name, Russell.
Wilson?
Well, yeah, Wilson. Who's he blowing away? Yes, he won a Super Bowl, but so did, you know, these other guys, like I think Dilfer, and I don't know why I'm drawing a blank with names, but these one-hit wonders, so to speak. I mean, it can happen.
Franco,
so,
Flacco.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to say, well, oh, Seattle, they, you know, they this, that, and the other. No, they have to, you know, prove that they – can do a three Super Bowls out of 5 years kind of thing, and it's
right.
not there yet. This is really iffy as far as I'm concerned. You don't know if the Cowboys are just going to somehow get it together. You don't know if the – I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm here in Philly. I'm watching – well, I'm not a Philly, but I'm an Eagles fan, but I'm watching the reading the notes because I don't really watch preseason. I can't deal with the injury piece in preseason. I can deal with it during the regular season, but preseason I can't hang with it. But, I mean, I'm reading the material and stuff like that. No one is, like, really just blowing me away saying, look, watch out. This team is going to just tear it up. So, but good show, man. I'm listening. Keep it up. I'm not going to get back on, but I want to listen to the rest of the show.
My man, it's always a pleasure. LP, you and I got to chat about some things. It's always good, man. Take care. Thanks for calling in.
All right, you too. Peace.
Oh, man, that's my brother there, LP. We go back like this. Like this, son, like this. 410, that's Baltimore, no, that's Maryland. I think it's Baltimore. Talk to me before you're on the air.
What's going on, Brother Ray? The man is back.
My man, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This has been a blue five night. That was a great night, huh? Back to back to back.
Man, thank you so much
for being
real with
you.
Yeah, thank you so much
my man, talk to me. What you got burning with you, man? What you got on your mind?
Man, thank you for being realistic about the Yankees, man. It's over. Dana, let it go.
Yeah.
You know, we take it a little bit. We got the second best record in baseball, I believe.
Yeah.
But my Ravens are going to be good. We got a new brand new casino in Baltimore. It's just been all love down here.
Whoa, you got a casino in Baltimore?
Yeah, they got just built one, a big $450 million downtown, Harrah's from Caesars. I mean, Las Vegas is
wow.
Yeah, it's really nice, man. It's really nice.
So that's an attraction for people to go spend the whole weekend down the ball. Look at you doing some tourism for the city of the Crab Cake City.
Only thing I'm saying is nickel machines. I ain't giving my dollars away to that mess. Get that.
Listen,
I'll be there with the grandma playing the nickel game.
That adds up. Let me ask you something. You're down there in Baltimore.
Yes,
Under Armour came from out of nowhere, and they're growing, and they're doing some things right now that is unbelievable. You know, the way that I think the Notre Dame deal that they've got, they changed the way that they forced other teams to really step up their apparel game. Do you think that company, I know they've made X amount of dollars, do you think that they're going to be a company that's going to stay around for quite a long time?
Man, they have dug into Nike's apparel business big time, especially for Under Armour, you know, the pads underneath the equipment.
Yeah.
I think they're dominating that. I mean, they do a lot for the community. They've done redone a lot of city schools, football fields. They're doing really big in the community. I got my hats off to them. And, yes, they're going to be a force to reckon with. And he kind of can almost get what's the name, almost $150 million or whatever they offered him. It's crazy.
Yeah, Kevin Durant. Yeah, I look at them now that they sometimes apparel companies, they make a big splash, and I think that they're doing it, you know, going about it. They might not win a sneaker war per se, but what they're doing is they're outfitting some of these basketball and football teams, especially the college football teams. And you see we had a brother, Lawrence Ham Jr., he ran a basketball camp. And I think where they're more impactful, what I see from them is across the country, they're doing camps. They're actually in the city, and it's not that you got to pay for these camps. He came down here, spent 2 weeks, 1 week just for the under 14, and the other week for the 14 and up. And I was like, wow, they allowed him the opportunity to get in these camps. Just the kids had sneakers, and he gave them shirts and all of that, and all the campers were there. And that's what I like about Under Armour, man. That's what I'm all about, that community service. I got you, and I got you on the panel, and we're going to whip this thing around and get back to it. But I want to put you on hold because I got a series of questions that we want to – can you stay with us?
No problem. I'm staying. I'm right here, brother. I ain't going nowhere.
My man. I got one more call from the 301. Let me see if I can squeeze them in, 301. Talk to me, sports. You on the air. Hello? Talk to me, sports. Oh, they just want to listen. They don't want to talk. Okay, let me see if I can get them out of here. All right, fellas. Here's the first question. We're gonna go real quick. Ask everybody. We're gonna break down the NFC South. I want you to each one of you tell me, you know, how do you see the division from top to bottom, right to brown. Now the South is the Bucks, the Saints, and the Falcons and the Panthers. I'm gonna leave off with Bryson. NFC South, Brown, how do you see it?
Got the New Orleans Saints winning the division, got the Carolina Panthers finishing second, Tampa Bay Buccaneers third, Atlanta Falcons finishing last.
Okay, Brown. That's Brown right there. Kyrie, NFC South.
I say Carolina first, New Orleans second, Atlanta third, and Tampa Bay fourth.
Okay. Mark Gordon, NFC South, how do you see that?
I got the Saints winning division. I got the Panthers second. I got Tampa Bay third. I got the Falcons bringing up the rear.
Okay. All right. Baldwin, how do you see the NFC South?
I like New Orleans taking the division second. I'm going to go with Atlanta, and then I'll go with Tampa Bay and the last team, whoever that is.
Okay. You on the air, Clay Rowland. What you got, baby? You came a little late. What you got for me real quick?
Oh, I ain't got nothing for you. I think you're doing the NFC South, so, you know, I'm on it.
Who do you got?
I got NFC South. I got Saints winning division, Atlanta second. I got Carolina third and Tampa Bay finishing last as usual.
Okay. Well, break it down to me. What you got? Well? Going in and out, Bell. What you got, baby?
And Tampa coming in last.
Okay. Say those picks again real quick. We got Tampa last. Who you got first?
Oh, cool. I got Carolina. Then I got New Orleans. Then I got Atlanta. Then I got Tampa.
Okay. Man, everybody's eyes probably going back up top. We go to the NFC West. Brown, lead it off.
The AFC West. Got the Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs. And I got the Oakland Raiders and San Diego Chargers tied for that last spot.
Okay. Kyrie, how do you see it? Oh, you get Kyrie. Kyrie, AFC West, how do you see it?
AFC? I'm going to have to go with a Denver first, Oakland second. San Diego is going to be third, and then I'll see Kansas City last.
Whoa, you got something on there. All right, 516. What you got, Mark? Break it down for us.
I got Denver first. I got Kansas City second in the wild card team. I got the Chargers third, and Raiders bringing up the rear.
Okay. Sean, what you got for us, man?
I have Denver winning the division. San Diego is going to be a surprise team. Oakland, Kansas City.
Clay Rowland, what you got for me?
I got Denver winning the division. I got Kansas City second. I got San Diego third, and as usual, the Raiders going to be in last place.
Ben, what you got for me?
I got Denver. I got Denver with a question mark because Wes Walker just got hit for four games for popping mileage. So,
yeah.
So I got Denver questionable for number one. I got the Chiefs at number two. I got the Raiders at number three. Chargers bringing up the rear.
Okay. Right, let's start it off. Last division, NFC West. Who do you got, Brown?
I already went.
NFC West.
Ooh, that's going to be Seahawks, San Francisco, Cardinals, and who else is in that West?
Rams.
Rams finishing last.
Yeah. Okay. Kyrie, what you got? Kyrie?
Oh, my bad. Go down to which one we're going again? Sorry about that.
NFC West.
NFC West?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Seahawks first and San Francisco second. I want to see those two go at it again like they did last year. And I'm going to have to say St. Louis there with Arizona coming up at four.
Okay. All right, Mark. I know this is your division. Pick it, baby. Pick it.
I got the Seahawks first. I got the Cardinals second. I got my San Quentin 49ers third. And I got the Rams bringing up the rear.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing out there. I can't begin to understand what they're doing out there. Sean, what you got? Break that division down for us.
I got Seattle. I like the Cardinals. I like the 49ers and the Rams.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. The sleeper in that division, people, I think it's going to be those Cardinals. Clay, what you got, baby? Break it down for us.
I got Seattle winning division. I got the Cardinals second, Rams third, and I got San Fran last place.
Wow. Let me ask you something real quick, man. You think that Bradford, they'll be able to overcome Bradford's loss, the Rams?
Oh, no, I think they'll overcome Bradford's loss. I think San Fran got a bigger problem with all the problems going in San Fran. I think that locker room is going to be split. I think they have a lot of problems there with the coach wanting more money and all this. They have problems with San Fran. They're going to finish last. Some stuff you just can't overcome. Some stuff just overtakes football, and that's one of them. So Rams,
okay.
So San Fran, they're done.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. The Rams, San Fran is done. I got one more person. Talk to me, Lavelle. What you got? Break that division down for me.
I got Seattle. I got San Fran. Uh-huh. I got St. Louis. Then I got Arizona.
Okay. All right. I'm going to throw this question out to y'all. Now, Jerry Jones does not want Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor. What do you think? Should Jimmy be in the Ring of Honor? I'm going to start with you, Lavelle.
You know what? As much as I hate him, I think so. He did a hell of a job down in Dallas. He had one of the toughest crews to deal with. Had a bunch of coke heads, a bunch of high heads. He pulled them together. I think he should be.
My man. The 301, talk to me. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, this is John Scott.
John Scott, let me ask you a quick question. Do you think that Jimmy Johnson, Jimmy Johnson should be in the Ring of Honor?
Yes, he deserves it. He did all Jerry Jones's work. If it wasn't for Jimmy Johnson, there would be no new stadium called AT&T Stadium. Jimmy Johnson helped build that.
thank you. Man, all right. Clay, what you think?
I think, Jimmy Johnson definitely deserves the Ring of Honor. He not only did he win two Super Bowls, he won. His team was so good, Barry Switzer got a Super Bowl under Jimmy Johnson. So Jimmy Johnson deserves to be in the Ring of Honor.
Thank you, Clay. What you think, Sean?
Absolutely, man. He built that stadium just like that second car was charged. I definitely agree with 100%. Definitely yes.
Okay. Mark, what's your answer on that, Mark?
My answer is he who has the gold makes the rules. So
yeah.
Jerry Jones has the gold, and he's not going to be in until that changes, unless he shows up, he being Jimmy Johnson, shows up with a couple of strippers, and then he might let him in.
Okay. Okay. Leave it to Mark, especially out the box. Let me say this. This is just my take on it. I'm going to let everybody else speak, and I'm going to give my take on this, too, after everybody else speaks. Kylie, what you think? Jimmy Johnson deserves to be in that Hall of Fame, the Ring of Honor?
I mean, I see no reason why he shouldn't.
Right? That's all you got for me. There's no reason why he shouldn't. Huh?
That's all I got.
Okay. I like it. Short and sweet. Bryson Brown, what you think? Bryce, what you think?
You got to put – hey, the man's hair went blow during blizzards. You got to put that man in the ring.
Let me see if LP is on there, if he's going to chime in. LP, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Could you chime in and tell us what you think, man? I know you said you didn't want to say anything, but I saw you still on the board, so I wanted to speak to you. What you think?
I know. I'm listening, man. I'm enjoying the conversation, and my answer is yes. I agree totally about the fact that he won, plus left the team to win another one. So, come on.
Yeah. Let me just give you my take on this owner, and it's very similar to Al Davis' situation with Marcus Allen. You know, sometimes the owners think that they're bigger, and I love Al Davis, and I think that it's sometimes people rub each other wrong, and they can't let it go. Al Davis, I don't know what he had against. He thought basically the same thing that Jimmy Jones thinks about Johnson, that he wasn't loyal enough to him, and he didn't do all the things that he wanted to do, and it's unfortunate. Sometimes we let ego and all that situation get in our way. But I'm saying, after watching Outside the Lines yesterday, I'll say one thing about Mr. Jones. He's incredible. He's incredible. He's amassed. He brings in that scene and brings in over $600 million a year on his own. He's tied up with all kinds of marketing ideas and all kinds of concepts and ideas, and he helps. You know, he sits on the NFL committee, the TV deal. So he's doing some amazing things when it comes to what's going on down there. Let me run this by real quick. Michael Sam being cut. Deal, no deal, or media creation? I'm going to you. You know, there's almost 300 players cut. Lavelle, deal, no deal, just media creation?
I say deal, because one thing about Jerry Jones takes on anything. He took on Dez Bryant after he chokeslammed his mother. And Michael Sam, you know, and everybody got cut, but he actually had pretty good numbers during the preseason.
Uh-huh.
Preseason, even when you stacked him up against the other linebacker, they was virtually identical. Only thing the other linebacker had, he had one more tackle than Michael Sam. So I think that he's showing that he's able to play at this level. So I think he'll go ahead and pick him up, even if it's the media or whatever, but he'll go ahead and do it.
Okay, thank you, Mel. John Scott, Michael Sam's situation, deal, no deal, or media creation?
Deal. It's a deal. Michael Sam had a terrific preseason. In addition, going to the Cowboys, he'll sell the jerseys and the jersey. And please remember this thing. Cowboys is the only NFL team that makes money off the jersey sales.
Man, I tell you what. Whether you like that guy or not, that Jones guy, he's incredible when it comes to his business acumen, man. Stay rolling, my man. Michael Sam, deal, no deal, or media creation. What you think about
the whole situation, him being cut?
I think you deal him. I think him getting cut, I think is a good thing. Well, I think it's a good thing because I think someone's going to pick him up. Dallas going to pick him up, go to Dallas, get that done, because my thing is it's a marketing. Remember, NFL's a business. NFL's a business, and the first thing, can he play? Yes. Second thing, he's gay. Can Jerry Jones said, how much money can I get from the gay community? That's all Jerry Jones worried about. He said he can play, and the gay community also buys tickets, and they buy NFL apparel. So Jerry Jones is a businessman, and you cannot exclude the gay community. And if you do that, if everyone says he can play, and you cut him, then it's a backlash. You put him on the team, you get all that money, and Jerry Jones is a businessman. Everything Jerry does is marketing the product, period.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Clay, you hit it right on the spot there, because he said, listen, if he has a chance to do it all again, he would take Johnny Manziel. So,
that's right.
Because he said he's about that marketing. It doesn't transfer over, to his team, but listen, they're serious about that. Thank you, Clay, man. Clay's always giving that. Sure, my man. Deal, no deal, or just the media creation, Michael Sam's being cut, now possibility of him ending up with the Dallas Cowboys.
I say no deal, man. I don't think the NFL is ready for that. I'm not against gays or the whole, their whole scenario, whatever they do, but I don't think the NFL is ready for that. I say no deal. Marketing and all that, man. You still in the locker room with guys. I say no deal, bro. We ain't ready for that yet.
Okay. Now, here's the thing, Sean. Now, here's where I think what some people definitely agree with Sean is that I think what has happened in the NFL is that there have been gay players in the NFL before. I think what has caught into this thing is, I don't think whether he's gay or not is a problem. I saw a few, like a Tim Tebow type of thing, when Tebow just brought that extra. Sometimes when you play sports, you want to focus. It's all that other stuff. And sometimes it might not necessarily be him because he proved that he could play. It's the other stuff that that other stuff that follows, like with Tebow and all that other stuff. So we'll see how this thing plays out. Sean brings an excellent point. Let me go up to my man, Mark. What you think? Michael Sam, deal, no deal, or media creation?
I think it's a deal, and I was hoping, actually, that the 49ers gave him a call, number one, because they're down 3 out of 4 of their starting defensive linemen, two due to, the criminal blotter, and one due to injury. Mm-hmm. San Francisco has a huge gay community, so when you talk about marketing, there would be no backlash from that community in San Francisco for him, and I think the man is talented, so... Regardless of his sexual orientation, if you can play football, you can play football. So I say it's a deal. And I'm sorry my team didn't pick him up.
Yeah, wind him up and let him, all you got to do is let him run. And he's doing his thing. I'm going up to New York City. Kyrie, what you think? Deal, no deal, media creation, Michael Sam situation?
Part of me says both. Media creation and deal, because, you could deal with it no matter who team owns it, but then it becomes a media creation because look how they turned the whole thing about him getting cut. Like, they've been hearing about it, like, oh, they can't cut him. Like, they're going to say he cut him just because he's gay. I'm like, no, it's just because one player was better than the other. But, then right now, like, if any other team decides to sign him, it's mostly just for marketing reasons and for publicity at this point.
Hmm. Yeah, and listen, the team who does, you make it like John Scott said earlier, the team who does that marketing, nobody does it better than Jones down there in Texas. Bryson, what you think, deal, no deal, media creation?
Personally, I say no deal. The Rams cut him. They didn't even offer him an opportunity to play on the practice squad. He struggled in preseason, contrary to what a lot of people are saying, because he had problems transitioning to playing linebacker. And he made some plays, but he was also playing against the third string, offense in most games, and he struggled on special teams. So, if it wasn't for you know, and you can throw in that media, you know, creation a little bit as well. But, I mean, I wouldn't sign him because, I mean, I don't think I think he's a defensive end that's too small to play in the NFL. And regardless of if he's gay or not, I mean, I really don't think he can play his natural position in the NFL, and I think he's going to struggle wherever he goes.
Thank you, Brown. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and I spoke to a couple of brothers off the air, is that there's a lot of things happening in terms of power, who wields power. I want us to go quickly, and if you guys, in any type of order, can name the most the five most influential people in basketball, NBA basketball. And, you know, you can pick up any order, any people that you wish to choose, you know, on, off the court, GM, president, owner, player, whoever you think. Bryce, I'm going to lead off with you. Five most influential players.
Okay, you ready? LeBron
yeah.
James, Kevin Durant, I would say Adam Silver. I would say Phil Jackson, and I would say Rich Paul, LeBron James' agent.
Oh, okay. Let's go real quick. Kyrie, who do you got? Five most important people in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say LeBron, KD. Let's see. Yeah, Adam Silver's going to have to be another one. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about Phil Jackson at this point. I will say... From a coaching standpoint, I'm just going to have to say Doc Rivers somewhat.
Ooh.
And
okay.
Number five, let's see. Still somewhat, even though he's in the Hall of Fame now, I still say it's David Stern. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Mark real quick. Let's pop this thing. Let's five most influential people in basketball.
I don't know how the first two people could have left out Michael Jordan at the top as, you know, the top player of all time and now an owner. So that would be my number one. Number two would be LeBron. Number four would be the Commissioner Silver. And number five would be Nike.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right, my man. Sean, you're on, man. Give me five most influential people in basketball.
Definitely James, I say Silverman, Phil Jackson, and the Bush family in L.A.
Ooh, okay. Clay, what you got for me?
Well, I got I got LeBron James, in no particular order, but LeBron James, Phil Jackson. I got to give it to the Greg Popovich. I agree with the Nike comment, and Donald Sterling. I got to go with Donald Sterling. With him getting kicked out of the NBA, the landscape of L.A. basketball is going to change now, and it's going to change the whole area with new ownership coming in and how they're going to do things. So he was influential in a negative way, but he's going to turn positive because they're going to bring a great product to L.A. with the Clippers now.
Okay. John Scott, what you got? Five most influential people in basketball.
I wouldn't say people, but I'll just start it off with TNT, ESPN, the Spurs coach, Greg Popovich, Nike, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant.
Oh, my man. Okay. Yeah, he went. Okay. What you got for me real quick, LaBelle?
Yeah, I'm going with LeBron. I'm going with Jordan. He's still selling sneakers for $250. I'm going with Kobe. I'm Chrissy trying to structure teams around him. Kevin Love, because he's changing the scope of people's contracts. And KD.
Wow. Oh, my man. I really appreciate it. Here's my quick thing real quick. I'm going with Popovich, not in any order. LeBron James, because he's pulling strings incredible. Adam Silver, because who is what he is. Silver, LeBron, Popovich, Durant, and the person that we really have to keep an eye on is Michelle Roberts. She's the head of the Players Association, the female that's the head of the Players Association. And be on the lookout for what's going to happen when those next contract things come up in terms of what's going to happen to the players. Listen, for LaVelle, for John Scott, for Clay, for Sean, Mark coming back, for LP, for Bryson, for Kyrie. I want to thank y'all for calling in, man. I really appreciate you guys. Nothing but love. Oh, for Dana Dane doing her thing as always. Let me see what's going on here. I think I see somebody from the 312. That might be Chicago. Hello? Hello? Oh, that wasn't Chicago. I think he just disappeared. I think Chicago, are you there?
Hey, Ray, you got me?
I got you, man. What's going on?
Hey, brother, good to hear you always. Brother, how's everything going with you?
My man, everything is real well. I can't really complain. I know it's your time. I'm going to get up out of here so you can do your thing so I can listen to your show. It's always my pleasure listening to you, man. Thank you. Enjoy. Check out the brand Talk to Me Sports Radio. Next on deck is my man from the Windy City. He's holding it down. The one and only Jerry Carpenter. Good night.
I appreciate it, buddy. Have a great week, man.
Yep.
Welcome back to the second hour of Talk to Me Sports Radio. Well, this is your host, Jerry Carpenter from Chicago. Hope all is well with everybody out there all over the world. I told somebody today, I see I do a little sports radio show on the Internet. He said, little, you on the Internet, people listen to you all over the world. So, I mean, for all y'all out there in South Africa, for those of y'all out there in Israel, those of y'all in Argentina, all over the world, this is Jerry Carpenter, Talk to Me Sports Radio. So hope all is well with everybody out there. So much going on in sports, man. I ain't got much time to talk about me tonight. Y'all don't want to hear about me anyway. Sports has just been blowing up. So much happening. I'm excited about everything going on. It started off all last weekend, Labor Day weekend. Kicked off with college football. I was checking out Texas A&M. They showed that there is life after Johnny Football. I mean, they killed South Carolina. This is significant because they were ranked number 21. South Carolina was ranked number 9. So they killed them 52-28. The other ones that were top-ranked teams didn't fare as well. Number 1, Florida State, they got by Oklahoma State, but it was 37-31. A little question mark of whether they were going to win that for a minute there. Number 2 didn't do all that great. Number 2, Alabama beat West Virginia. And by the way, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, both of these are unranked teams. And so they beat West Virginia 33-23. But then the third, number 3, and number 4 kind of did a lot better. Oregon trounced South Dakota 62-13. And then number 4, Oklahoma beat Louisiana Tech 48-16. So everybody, college football is back. We're ready to do that. But as I said, went off the top, very impressed with Texas A&M. I mean, that was just showing, okay, now whether they can keep it up will be something to be said, but the reality is there is life after Johnny Football. In the Major League Baseball, the Baltimore Orioles, nothing's really changed. Those of y'all listening to the show last week, ain't nothing really changed. The Baltimore Orioles are leading the AL East. Kansas City Royals are leading the AL Central. Los Angeles Angels are leading the AL West. And the National League, the Washington Nationals are leading the East. The only difference is from last week, the Milwaukee Brewers were leading the Central. Now it's the St. Louis Cardinals. And the L.A. Dodgers are leading the National League West. So, I mean, of course, think about it. If you got Clayton Kershaw, this guy is pitching lights out. I don't think we talk enough about baseball on this show. Clayton Kershaw is the Dodgers pitcher. This dude is 16-3 this year. He is the only player that I think, maybe I have to check this stat, I believe he's the only player in Major League Baseball that has got an ERA under 2. I mean, he is lights out, and he's got 6 complete games. So, I mean, you got that kind of guy going in the playoffs. So you can pitch him 2 times, maybe 3 times throughout a series. You got a good chance of winning with just a guy like that. In tennis, switching gears, the U.S. Open is in its second week. Serena Williams is into the quarterfinals. Not a major surprise. Serena's the number 1 ranked tennis player as far as the women. On the men's side, Roger Federer is playing right now. He's on his way to a straight set victory, so he'll be advancing and moving forward. Hey, while I'm on the topic of U.S. Open and men, you know what is crazy to me? How the top ranked American men entering the U.S. Open was a guy named John Isner, and he was ranked number 15. He was eliminated in the third round on Saturday. It's the second consecutive year that no American male has reached the round of 16. This is extremely significant because for those of us who watch tennis over the years, whether it's in the 60s, 70s, 80s, or whatever, it's always been at least one great American that was doing it, at least one. And now we're down to almost nothing. I mean, you know, these guys are not necessarily even close to household names. And you got to wonder what happened to the days of Connors back in the 70s and McEnroe in the late 70s, 80s. You know, you had Sampras, Pete Sampras was doing it, and Andre Agassi in the 90s and the 2000s were both doing it. You got to wonder what happened to American men's tennis. Not that the women are doing all that great, but at least with Serena Williams around, you know, beating up everybody, at least you got one woman. But it's not a whole lot of women on the American side either. So we have to see what's going on with tennis. That's going to be another one of those sports where everybody's got to get back into and try to get some people from the hizzard to get out there and hit that tennis ball. We used to play public parks in Philly, which is on, what was that school? I can't even remember the name of the school. 8S McKinley is in Mount Airy. Me and my brother learned how to play tennis in the 70s because when we grew up in West Oak Lane in Philly, we had to play everything. We played baseball, basketball, football, tennis. We played everything. And nowadays, everybody plays everything except it's only on the Wii station and Nintendo. Different generation. I'm not complaining. I'm just simply saying we got into being athletes back then. In the NFL, the Denver Broncos, Wes Walker, the wide receiver, was suspended 4 games for amphetamine use. Walker had a concussion, so this might not, you know, he might not have started the season on the field anyway. The Indianapolis Colts owner, Jim Irsay, who had a DUI, reached a plea deal with the NFL. Suspension is 6 games and $500,000 fine. Irsay, as I said, had the DUI. And then Michael Sam was cut. He had 3 sacks. Kind of interesting stats on him. We'll talk about that because that's going to be one of our topics for the evening. Also, Texas, the Texans, J.J. Watt, the best defensive player probably out there right now, got a 6-year, $100 million deal. The Chiefs, Alex Smith, conservative quarterback, doesn't exactly lose a lot of games, doesn't exactly win a lot of games, but he got a 4-year, $45 million guaranteed, $68 million overall. One of the things, though, about him, you say what you want. Alex Smith is not the most exciting quarterback, probably would not be in anybody's top 10. Most of you remember he was with San Francisco 49ers, and they decided, okay, we're going to go a different route, which made sense. The Chiefs picked him up. But he has one of the best touchdown-to-interception ratios. So, you know, not necessarily a game manager, but not necessarily a guy that's going to make it happen. But in either event, you got to be able to respect the guy that does not throw a lot of interceptions. You got to respect that. And in the WNBA, the final game of the Western Conference Finals with Minnesota and Phoenix is tonight at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be checking that out. I checked them out over the weekend. And the final game of the Eastern Conference Finals is between Chicago and Indiana. That's tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So much going on in sports. I must admit, I got around on thing all weekend catching a little bit of everything. That's how I do. You know, I must admit, it's hard to just sit up there and just watch one. I mean, I was flipping around, went to a couple cookouts, was flipping around, hitting a whole bunch of stuff. So I love sports. Y'all love sports. We got a lot of people backed up on the phone lines. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to LeVar's quick hitters. Y'all know we do this every week. We're going to let LeVar get it in quick, and we're going to get to everybody tonight. If that means everybody gets 30 seconds, everybody gets 30 seconds. I'm getting everybody tonight. LeVar, you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. I got you. I'm gonna get it real quick then. You already touched on a few things. You talked about the WNBA. I think everybody should be watching out for this. Tonight is the final game of the Western Conference Finals between Phoenix and Minnesota. These are the top two best teams in the league, top two best teams in the West, so this is going to be epic. This is going to be good. So the Marbles at 10 o'clock tonight. As you said, the Sky and Fever are tied at 1, so that's a good thing for Chicago. Away from the basketball court, something that people may have not talked about or may not know, the UFC right now, the Ultimate Fighting, the UFC right now is implementing a random out-of-competition drug testing. They normally get the fighters normally get tested throughout the when they're fighting, like the night before the fight, things like that. But they want to test fighters now when they're not fighting, when they're not signed to a fight or something like that. They want to keep the competition equal because there's drugs, because the night before they do a urine test, but there's drugs that somebody can put in their blood that may not show up in a urine test. So they just want to make sure they clean the sport out and make sure there's no advantages, no illegal advantages. And lastly, like you just touched on about Michael Sam, and I know it's the topic of the night, I'm just going to add one thing to it. I'm not going to go into too much in depth, but everybody knows he was released by the Rams and not signed by their practice squad, which I think is good, because why would they release you and sign to their practice squad? It's just like they just don't want you to play for you. They want you to practice for you. So I'm glad he didn't sign with them. But good news is that the Cowboys actually are bringing him in today so he can do a physical with them tomorrow and there's a possibility that he may sign with them by Wednesday or Thursday. So that's my quick hitters.
All right, that's LeVar's quick hitters, everybody. We appreciate LeVar. We got so many callers backed up tonight. I'm gonna cut you short. I will say this, man. I was amped watching them WNBA games over the weekend, man. I mean, I caught Minnesota and Phoenix, and, I mean, there's a simple reason Maya Moore was the MVP. She was bringing it. I mean, she was hitting shots that I was like, she hit a couple shots that, to me, were NBA-like, not WNBA, but NBA-like. She was bringing it, so I'm excited about that. Once my show is over, I'm running right to the WNBA tonight. I'm not watching baseball. I'm trying to see that game. So appreciate it as always, LeVar. Hit us up next week with the LeVar's quick hitters.
All right. Appreciate it, Jerry.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to catch that, y'all. I was flipping back and forth between tennis and the WNBA this Sunday, man. It was going on both channels. I was at a friend's on Saturday. He had three TVs. He had a big flat-screen TV, and he had two 32 inches right next to each other just to show off. My wife said, "Why you got three TVs?" He said, "Because I couldn't get four." That's the type, brother, I like hanging with. All right, to the phone lines we go. We got the Jerry Carpenter Show on Talk to Me Sports Radio. Talk to me. Talk to me, 505.
Oh, what's up, Jerry? This is Mark, man. Long time.
What's going on with you, Mark?
Oh, man, nothing much, man. Super busy. But just wanted to comment on a couple of your topics. First and foremost, Michael Sammy will be playing in the NFL this year. You can just ink that. That's going to happen.
Where do you think he'd be picked up? I mean, we know that the Cowboys have at least asked him to come in for a physical.
Yeah, Cowboys, you know, Jerry Jones is crazy enough and loves the media attention and just to be out there. He'd pick him up. I think Jerry Jones would pick him up. I think that another organization, if he's still around, would pick him up, would be Baltimore, too.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the Dallas Cowboys because they've been decimated on defense the last couple of years, and even this year they've already discussed that they've got, you know, some problems. They've had the few guys that were sacking people,
yep.
Not even with the team anymore. They've gone over to Denver and some other places. So I can see them being there. But I guess the thing is, and by the way, everybody, Mark hit on it. One of our questions of the day is, do you think that the Rams cutting Michael Sam was purely a football decision? And the second question would be, do you think that the NFL's six-game suspension and $500 fine of Colts owner Jim Irsay was right? So those are the two main topics, along with whatever else you guys got going on. So let me ask that to you, Mark. Do you think it was purely a football decision with the Rams cutting Michael Sam, or do you think that there was like, look, you know what, he ain't that good. I ain't even gonna put that in your mind. You tell me what you think it was.
No, I think it was purely a football decision. You know, the Rams got one of the better front seven in the league. And I think Jeff Fisher has always seemed to be a stand-up guy. And if he could play well enough to make that team, Jeff Fisher would put him on that team, man. You know, and Jeff Fisher's history goes all the way back to the Eagles. So
Yeah.
He was a defensive back for the Eagles. So he's always been a stand-up guy. And he's a football guy. So if a guy could play, Jeff Fisher would definitely play him. But, and like I said, that's one of the better front seven in the league. So, you know, he played well enough to show people he can play, and he'll find a job in the NFL. He won't be on somebody's practice squad either. He will be playing.
And that's what I really wanted to be able to see, whether he's going to get called up to actually play somewhere for real, because technically, I guess, being on a practice squad, is like, I don't think that's technically making a team. So to be the first openly gay player to actually play, and I don't mean, you know, just, you know, I'm there on the weekend and I'm not really going to dress for anything, but, I mean, really play. So it'll be interesting. So what do you think about the Jim Irsay piece, man, before we get to you, what you want to hit on? What do you think about that? I mean,
it's a slap on the wrist, man. I mean, come on. It's a slap on the wrist. First
six
all,
games, though, Mark. 500 grand, six grand. That's a slap on the wrist for a DUI that guys have been getting left and right for the last 20 years in the league. You got one DUI, not 30 or 40 DUIs, one, and you got a $500,000 fine?
First of all, the money's no, you know, he's a billionaire. The money is, that's no money. And the other thing is, too, is for a guy like him, man, they hold him to a higher standard.
Well, I think that's the key because, I mean, you know, you're right. The money is not much. Right. But it is a higher standard. But I just think it's interesting to me that, you know, you can beat your wife down, drag her off the elevator, and you get two games, you know. And granted, you can argue which way, which one is worse than the other. I mean, a DUI, you can end up, you know, running into 20 people and killing them. So, I mean, you know, both of them are bad. But the point is, it's just interesting that now that they've kind of come up with this new outlook on suspending people, that he got six games. And granted, it is a higher standard because he is an owner. Mark, go ahead and hit us with what else you got, man, because I got a bunch of calls.
Oh, man,
I want to get everybody in.
Yeah. Real quick, wanted to throw some ideas about that KD Nike thing, man. The fact that Nike matched Under Armour's offer was really interesting because they didn't want to lose one of their top guys. But definitely for Under Armour to come up with that kind of loop, they are definitely no and one. They are legitimate. They are a serious player in that sneaker market, man. And when other players, top-tier players, see them throwing around that kind of money, they're going to get some of the James Hardens, and the other players of the world, man. So they're here to stay.
Now, I'm with you. I mean, when I'm at the gym, man, I must admit, it's gotten to a point where I've observed that you probably see 50-50. You probably see 50% Nike, you know, on people's, you know, sweatshirts and 50% Under Armour. I got a little bit of both. I probably have my more recent stuff I bought has been Under Armour. I like the way it fits a little bit better. And now they're trying to get into the shoe market, which is a huge market, as you well know. You know, here's the interesting thing, though, man. When you look at, you know, the amount of money, it seems like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. Anytime you're talking about, you know, offering somebody $285 million just for them to be able to be the main man behind your shoe. But check this out, Mark. Durant's shoes last year generated $175 million in the retail sector. $175 million. So the fact that they're going to give you $28 million a year, you know, not to say there's nothing to sneeze at, but suddenly it's not that crazy of a deal. You know what I mean? So think about it. If Under Armour could have gotten him to do at least, let's say not even that, if he could just do $100 million, they still would have made out, you know, like fat rats in comparison to what they're paying them. So it just goes to show you the influence these guys have. I never thought it was that big a deal. You know, when I played and when I was a younger guy, of course we didn't have as many crazy contracts, but I remember when Dr. J had the Dr. J's, you know, we wanted to get them, but it wasn't like if you didn't have them, you wasn't no baller. You know what I mean? So it's interesting how this generation gets so influenced by these guys and so forth.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. I mean, somebody is going to sign one of these big names with Under Armour, and once that happens, man, they'll never overtake Nike in the basketball arena. But they definitely there's room for another major player in that sneaker market, because let's look at Reebok. They're really falling behind. They were right there. They've really fallen behind. Adidas has been out there forever, and they still have all the other sports that, you know, people don't really focus on, like wrestling, soccer. You know, they're a major player in Europe, but in America, Under Armour has an opportunity to do something special. And if you can get some stock, you know, that's a nice tip.
Yeah, speaking of that, I'll leave you with this, man. They actually, in their offer, had offered like 10% stock to Durant. So it was kind of like, look, not only are we going to give you to come up on this money, but here's some stock. So in case we're assuming things go real well, you're not going to make just as basic $28 million a year. The stocks can go through the roof, and suddenly you're going to make that much more money. Kind of like, you know, Howard Stern with Sirius Satellite Radio back when. I mean,
yep.
You know, I'm waiting. Ray Bennett, you better get that contract signed for me, man, because, I mean, I'm on the radio. People are hollering at me all over. I need to get my come up somewhere. I'm not asking for $28 million, but I will do this for $1 million, all right? So, you know, we'll figure it out. You know what I mean, Mark? Mark, appreciate the call, man. I got to get with you offline, man. We ain't talking in a minute, brother. Yep. Good hollering at you.
All right, man.
Yeah, Mark brings up some good stuff because, quite frankly, man, I mean, that's where a lot of this stuff is. It's on the shoe side. And if you're in a position where you can go ahead and get them shoes sold and make that money on that side, you doing something crazy, and that's really where a lot of this money is. And I'm hoping I can get there one day. We'll see. All right, back to the phone lines. Talk to me, Sports Radio.
How's it going, Jerry?
Good.
Hey, this is Michael from Chicago, man.
What's going on, man?
Hey, man, Jay, just going to comment on that issue with Sam. You know, I really don't really care about Sam playing in the football in the NFL at all anyway. So, but, you know, hey, they cut him, and hey, Dallas picking him up. That Dallas pick him up. You know, like I said, you're back to your previous caller. I think he'll play in the NFL. You know, he got a lot of, you know, how you put this? Sam in them.
I'm going to leave that alone, brother. Cause I'm going to leave that one completely alone. I'm not even sure what that means.
No,
so
I'm going to
leave that
alone. On the football, you know, I like the way he pressured the quarterback. I saw that part of him rushing and all this. I'm like, okay, I said, why did they come? I'm like, okay, I like he was doing pretty good. But it had to be something, I think, also in the organization, you know, if we gave him a trial a little bit, okay. But a lot of guys probably weren't feeling them, you know, as far as a teammate, though, too. So that's another thought. People ain't going to see and all that stuff, and that ain't not even coming up. But trust me, that is a part of something.
Which is really why my question is, so do you think it was a purely football decision?
No.
Yeah, and that's why I asked the question.
I really don't. I don't know. You might have a different take on that. I don't think so. It's just a football because the guy brings it as far as a football player. But another part, he out there, you know, doing what he's doing as far as being, you know, a first gay, open, whatever, football player coming out. He's not going to be the first. He's not going to be the last one.
Right. Well, I think it kind of reminds me a little bit of how we talk about black people, where we always have to be overly better at a position, better in corporate, better attorney, better this, to get the same due respect. And so I think that from my perspective, I think that unless he was going to be just lights out, that there was not necessarily going to be room. And granted, they have a good defense already with the Rams, so it's not like they were, you know, cutting them and they like the Dallas Cowboys where they have nothing. But that being said, I think he had to be doing something overly and above, over and above what the next guy was doing. And, you know, because let's face it, as much as we try to pretend like we're in a society where everybody can kind of, we're understanding and everything, and I don't doubt that. I think I personally have gotten better understanding, you know, gay rights and so forth. That being stated, if you are in a locker and you got, you know, 53-man roster, 46-man roster, and a lot of people are uncomfortable with him, as much as you can say it's 100% purely football decision, it's not. And that's really, you know, and I really like all my calls to give their opinions first because I don't want to sway anybody, but I just question that. I mean, and I got some stats I'll use on some other calls to kind of back that up a little bit. But bottom line, I question that a little bit. What do you think about the Jim Irsay piece, man? I mean, you know, suspended, you know.
That's a little excessive. I think a little excessive. Well, you know what, like I said, on your the calls before, Mark said, no, yeah, that's a drop in the bucket. Yeah, he's a billionaire, but the point is $500,000. Okay, 6-game suspension. I don't get that. Like you said, all this domestic stuff going on with violence, and then you guys get what, 2-game suspension? Oh, that's nothing to them. 2 games. Like you say, hey, what about 4 or 5 games? You know, these guys are here. I saw the video of the clip of him dragging a woman out of the elevator. Okay, when did he punch her? In the elevator?
Clearly.
Like she was out. Like she was out.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
it,
like,
it didn't look like it.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. That wasn't a little slap around where yeah, it looked like he cold cocked her, apparently. Either that or you can, you know, say she had too much to drink or whatever. But whatever
no.
reason.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
She probably
yeah.
talked too much.
Yeah.
She told her to shut the hell up.
Oh, Mike, you're going to get me in trouble, boy. So you're going to have me get suspended, you know, get suspended like my man on that other network, you know what I mean?
On a serious note, you know, we all been there, whatever. Okay, hey, she probably was talking too much and said this and that. You know, hey, one of them had too much to drink, if you want to say that, because he was falling over too, trying to carry on. And yeah, I'm drunk, you drunk, and you out. Hey, come on. I mean, things happen like that. Okay, they both out drinking. Okay, so one said something, the other person they didn't care for. Boom, slapping it. You know, hey, come on, enough of that. Hey, why didn't you suspend him for 4 or 5 games? Hit him where it hurt at then. If you're gonna do it that way, the owner, he should have been banned. She should have been suspended for a whole year, if that's the case of DUI.
Well, and see, the thing is, to me, when you suspend them for the games, it doesn't mean that much. I mean, let's call it what it is. And you suspend them for
hey,
two games.
You.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's not like he's going to be playing anyway. And some of the people, you know, some owners are like hands-on, want to be like Jerry Jones and be in the locker room and be wanting to talk to the guys and this and that. And some guys are like, look, this is an investment. I sit in the stands and I'm a fan, and that's about it. That's a wrap. So, you know, it depends on how you look at it. So you get 6 games, you know, is that a big deal to a guy who's going to still own the team and everything else? So a lot of ways of looking at that. Mike, I got a bunch of callers backed up this week, man. Appreciate the call, brother, man. Hit us up next
good
week as always.
To you, man.
All right, we're going to keep it moving, everybody. I'm going to try to get to everybody tonight, everybody, so please, We're going to get in there and hit it and quit it. Drop back to the phone lines. Talk to me, Sports Radio. Jerry Carpenter here.
Jerry Carpenter, it's Gary. I'm in and out. I'm in and out. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, man. I am doing great. Holiday weekend, ate a little too much. Got to lose about 10 pounds in the next couple of days. Wife says she's going to leave me. Other than that, everything's going great, man.
First of all, Jim Irsay is a repeat offender. I mean, and also it was more than just a DUI. He was not some guy who had three beers and his tolerance was two. He had an illegal prescription, or he had a prescription drug that he didn't have a prescription for. That's number one. And then
that
number two, this
system?
Is not that was in the car.
Okay, but it wasn't in his system. It was in the car. You're saying?
Yeah, and he's a recovering alcoholic and or drug addict.
Right.
So he has a background, although it may not have come under the umbrella of this, you know, new behavioral standard that they have. This is not his first rodeo, number one. Six is sufficient because, I mean, it's, you know, he's a hands-on owner. I mean, he's not some guy that's, you know, that's sitting in an ivory tower that never really cares and just wants to sell hot dogs. I mean, this guy is a fan. He likes the game. Six is going to be plenty. Any number with a comma, I wish people would stop saying silly stuff like, oh, that's, you know, that's no money to somebody that got a lot of money. If you lose money and it has a comma and a number or two numbers left of the comma, it hurts you. I don't care how much money you have. So,
well, I
just
think
to say
what people are saying is it's all relative. I mean, let's face it. If you're talking to a person who is a billionaire, and I'm not suggesting the Irsay is, I don't know how much he's worth, you know, it's not hitting him as hard as it would you and me. You know, let's put this in perspective. If somebody took $50 from you, and I know you personally, you know, yeah, you might be a little upset depending on how it went down, but it's not like you're going to be like, man, I ain't be able to pay my mortgage next month. Not going to be able to take care of the car note. Yeah, it's not – I won't go as far as saying you won't miss it, but, you know, there's been times in my life that I left a $100 bill, not lately, but when I was rolling, a $100 bill in a suit jacket – and forgot about it, and the next time I wore the suit, like, all right, it's $100. The point I'm making is that to me is what I think a lot of the callers are saying, that, yeah, it sounds like a huge amount of money, which it is, but to a person that is close to a billionaire possibly or a multi-millionaire, you know, if you're worth $30 million and somebody says $500,000, it hurts you, but it ain't like you're going to miss out on going to the yacht next month. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't think he'll be robbing liquor stores or anything to make
exactly, right.
But it, you know, I mean that any number that has two numbers or one number left of the comma, it affects you. I don't care who you are. The other part is about Michael Sam. You know, first of all, you know, man, that caller really danced around your future. I was listening like, dear God, please help Jerry Carpenter. <right here."
laughs> I mean, all of a sudden I'm Stephen A. Smith on the other line, man. No, I'm going to stay away from that, man. This stuff is listened to all over the world, and the last thing I need to do is get in any trouble with this, man.
So, but within that, I think that it was strictly a football decision. I mean, St. Louis, they weighed all of their options before they even brought him on. If he didn't have a chance of making it or they weren't going to give him that opportunity if he proved himself, they would have never brought him in. I mean, I know Jeff Fisher a long time. He's a Bear, an ex-Bear. He goes back. This dude is who he says he is. Here's the same guy that gave Jarrett Payton a job for 4 years so he could get a pension from the NFL simply because Fisher played with his dad, Walter Payton. So I mean, this dude is a stand-up dude, man. If he said it, it's real. The other part about gay athletes and not having them and barring them or any of that is that we miss out on talent. You know, I mean, if somebody, I love my sport, and I have my feelings about people's sexual orientation. I don't care. If you could help me win the championship, you could be a green dude and like, you know, other dudes. I don't care. You know, man, get me the championship, and that's all it's really about, and that's what it's more about. He's going to get a chance in Dallas. He was playing behind some great people. Fisher wouldn't lie about that. And, I mean, with the practice squad, you know, they were thin at another position, which they needed, and it came down to that, and that's what Fisher said. I believe him.
Yeah, well, and see, that's to me, that's really, I guess, the question I have is that, you know, in a situation where you got a bunch of great defenders in front of you, I understand that. But the flip side is this, man, and I'm with you 100%. If the guy can help you win games, but that's why I go back to, I think he had to be better, much better, meaning if the same situation, if he come from the SEC Player of the Year, if he had come from all the same background and not been a gay player, I'm not saying he would have made the team or not saying he would have made the practice team, but I do think that his chances would have been better. It's no different than almost a Jackie Robinson. You know, Jackie, if this don't work out, you know, you're not going to make it. Well, we got to make sure he's much better, obviously better than the other people. So then suddenly you're in a position where, all right, well, we can justify it. And all I'm saying is I'm not sure that Michael Sam, whether he should have made the team or not. I wasn't at the practice, watched a little bit of the game. But the reality is I don't think he was dramatically better or whatever, because that's really what you need to make sure you can justify it. You know, to your point, is he helping win games? If he's on the practice squad or he's just kind of like way down in the depth chart, not really. Now you got to still put up with the possibility that some players are uncomfortable. No different than when Jackie Robinson played. You got some white players are uncomfortable. But when he's smacking home runs out, it's a whole bunch easier to give people a high five, which they probably weren't doing back then, when he's smacking home runs out, black or white, versus if he's just kind of riding the pine and, you know, he's just not acting. That's why I think a lot of it has to do with being much better. If you're going to be the first, you got to be much better than everybody else ever, and then people can somewhat justify you being on it. Maybe that's a myopic viewpoint on it, but at the same time, I think that's my take on it. I think he just had to be that much better, man.
Well, who's to say? I'm not sure about that. What I can tell you about players being liked, from what I've seen and being around pro athletes, it's overrated. I can tell you for a fact that, you know, Marcus Allen was low at best by most of his teammates. The same with Alzado. I mean, you know, these weren't people that, you know, Gastineau was another one that was just loathed by his teammates. So it's overrated. I mean, if you have a dominant superstar, then, yes, he has to be the one that's, you know, he has to like the other people. But it doesn't work the other way. If you're the dominant superstar, you're typically not liked. Well, I won't say typically, but it happens in a lot of cases.
Right. Right. Well, I'll say this. I mean, you look at those guys you named, though, the fact that they all named recognizable names, those guys were bringing it, every one of them. And so to me, you know, that's part of the setup. You got to be bringing it for people to be able to sometimes put up with you. Now, I hate to say it that way about a gay athlete, but I look at an Allen Iverson, people put up with a lot of that mess as long as he was, you know, crossing people over, breaking ankles, dropping 30 a game. And people will put up a lot of T.O.'s mess when T.O.'s catching touchdown passes. But when you got some stuff that's maybe a little at odds with the rest of the team or the organization, you got to be bringing it. And I'm not saying what he did, you know, what Michael Sam did was equivalent to T.O. mouthing off or you know, being at odds with the quarterback. But what I'm saying is that when things are a little bit different and when we got to kind of question how this is going to be for team chemistry, we can deal with it when you're killing people out there and you got touchdown after touchdown, when you got 30-some points and you almost taking the sixes to the final single-handedly, people can put up with a bunch of stuff. When you're not bringing it, people got to say, well, Allen, maybe you need to go play overseas. And I think that's a little bit of what this is. That's a different analogy to it, but I think that's a little bit of what this is. Unless you're going to just do some crazy stuff, you might have to go play on another team, and if you can break back in that way, great, but we gave you a shot. You know what I mean? Anyway, you know, got a bunch of callers, man. Always appreciate your call, man. You and I sometimes be at odds, but I like that because I'm not going to always agree with you. You're not going to agree with me. But I appreciate that, man. Appreciate the call as always, Gary.
Thank you for having me, Jerry. Good luck to you.
All right. Yeah, Gary always gives me something because he's one of them brothers. When I get off the phone, I be thinking about what we said, and I mean, like, and I go back and play this back. Y'all do realize these shows are archived, so you can go back and play this back Tuesday night, late night, Wednesday, Thursday. Either way, Talk to Me Sports Radio. Who we got up next?
Gary, Blackhawk fan.
Blackhawk fan, you know, let's see, this is how it is. When it's a possibility that we've got a little bit of hockey getting warmed up, suddenly Blackhawk, he's ignored us for a whole month. But now that the ice is getting the form on the hockey, suddenly we get a call back. What you got tonight, brother?
Gary, we 16 days from opening training camp, 19 days from the first preseason puck drop, and 36 days from opening night. Boy, I'm excited about this hockey season, Gary. You just don't know. That Central Division, the Hawks, the Avalanche, the Stars, the Wilds, the Predators, the Blues, and the Jets, the top division in the league, man, we got something to look forward to this hockey season, man. And I'm excited about it. I can't wait for these 16 days for these camps to get open and these players to get out here and get on this ice. Let's cool this city off a little bit with a little bit of Blackhawk hockey, baby. It's all
Are you a little greedy, though? Because you got two championships in the last 4 years, 5 years. Are you a little greedy? Because, I mean, most cities would love to have two in the last 5 years, man. I mean, what's up? If they lose, you're going to be disappointed.
Most cities would love to have Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Patrick Sharp and Corey Crawford in the net. Most teams would love to have Jerry Quenneville as a coach, but they don't have him, Jerry. It's all here in Chicago, baby. This is a dynasty in the making.
And I like how they renewed those contracts over the summer, man. I like that. They got them guys, if I remember correctly, extended them on, say, 8 years or whatever. Kept them together. That's going to make a major difference because when you got that.
That translates to about two more Stanley Cups, and there we're going to
slow down, Blackhawk. Two more championships? Man, what's up?
That translates to two more Stanley Cups for the city of Chicago, Jerry. It's on and popping, man. Blackhawks had 107 points last year. That was the fourth best leading point getters in the whole league. And you know we coming and getting them this year, baby. It's all
right, so the reigning champ, the L.A. Kings, what do you think they got to say about all that, man? They ate the reigning champs. They beat the New York Rangers in the finals. What do you think they got to say about something like that, though?
Gary, come on, let's be honest. You know they slipped by. New York sat there, and they were like, please don't let the Blackhawks come in because even though we won one game against L.A., we wouldn't have won a game against the Blackhawks.
That was kind of the finals to some extent before you got to the actual Stanley Cup finals. That was kind of the finals there.
It was. And it was an excellent series. But, you know, we came back and we fought. But we'll be better prepared next year, man. I'm just excited about this season, and I want your listeners to get excited about this upcoming hockey season. 16 days before training camp opens, 19 days before the first preseason game, and 36 days before the first puck drop.
I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Blackhawk friend, you got to be able to do that ticket, though. I want to do the Flyers and the Hawks, all right? So whenever the Flyers come to town.
They're only in town one time, man, and that's on a Tuesday. So, you know, that's the day you do your show.
That's right. You and I talked about that. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. I might have to talk to my boss, Ray Bennett, and see if I can get the night off. We'll see how that works, man, because I definitely want to get to it. But even if I don't get to that, we'll catch the New York Rangers or somebody like that. We'll catch somebody. I definitely want to get to one, at least one this year. I don't think I've been to the Blackhawks since I've been in Chicago. I've been in Chicago 25 years, so I definitely got to get to. That's the only major sport I have not been to, so I'm going to definitely get to one. And I must admit, Blackhawk, you have gotten me to have a different appreciation for it, man. So I'm going to start hitting it a little bit more often. I'm not going to turn my NBA off 100%, but I'm going to definitely hit it a little bit more often, man. So we're going to look forward to that. So definitely got to get us back up and let us know what you think. Before the season starts, I want you to be for sure give us a call back. Give us your predictions on what you see that's going to be happening, even though it's hard to predict when you got this preseason. But give us what you think, man, based upon the signings, you know, trades and so forth, man, and get us abreast on what we got going on. Real quick, man, just give me a quick and dirty. What did you think from the NFL standpoint that the cutting of Michael Sam was purely a football decision?
I thought it was a football decision, but I thought it was a premeditated football decision. That was in the works when he was drafted, bro. St. Louis knew what they had on the table, and, you know, it would have been easier for them to let him go. You stand up guy in Mike and Fisher. I heard one of your callers say before that he was an Eagle, but he was an original Bear. Let's just call it what it is. And,
okay, he was a Bear and an Eagle, everybody. You know,
he was
both.
85 Super Bowl champ Bears.
Real quick, on the Jim Irsay, real quick, what you think on that, man? 6 games, $500 million, is that fair? Is that right? What do you think?
Man, that's wealthy dealing with wealthy, bro. how can you take him out of the business, man? You know, he's bringing something to the NFL too. So, you know, that's just wealthy people dealing with wealthy people. I never understand it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, man. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, brother, you got to question whether, you know, whether it's going to have an impact. You hope that as an individual, as a human, that he can get through rehab and everything will be good for him, man. But, you know, we'll pray for him and hope everything works out. Hey, Steve, always great to have you give us a call, man. Love talking hockey, man, because it's kind of been illuminating for me having you come on, man, and it's making me watch more and more of it. So definitely got to keep having you come on, man. Appreciate the call, brother.
Thanks for taking my call, Jerry.
All right. That's our Black Blackhawk fan, everybody. Everybody get into it. Get into it. Got to get into all sports, not just one or two of them. Back to the phone lines. Talk to me, Sports Radio, Jerry Carpenter Show. Talk to me, 216.
Oh, how you doing? This is Reggie from Cleveland. How you doing, Jerry?
Good, good. We got a Cleveland caller. What's going on, Reggie?
Not too much, man. Not too much, man. You know, while I was sitting here all thinking about it, man, I know you got the Michael Sam thing and you got the Ursa thing, which, you know, I was thinking, I was watching your boy Derrick Rose, man. You don't have to respond because you're a Chicago guy, man. You got to walk the streets of Chicago. I don't, man. I ain't feeling the hype, man. I ain't feeling it, you know. I don't see it. It's like if you know, you got a 44-inch vertical, that's all well and fine. But if I'm defending you, I'm just gonna lay off you and let you shoot brick jumpers all night. So I'm sorry, man. Maybe he got a different view, and maybe it's because he's still rusty. I don't know, but I never felt like he had a consistent jump shot anyway. You know, but I just ain't seeing it, man. I just ain't seeing it.
You know what's interesting to me that you know, people like you don't say a word, and then you get Love, you get LeBron back, you got Kyrie Irving, and suddenly everybody ain't filling the blank in the round of the league. You know what I mean, Reggie? Suddenly you got the chest poked out. You know what I mean? I ain't hear nothing from you last year. Suddenly, you know. So, hey, actually, man, look, I'm with you. I think I went to a couple games last year and before Derrick Rose got hurt, and he was getting to the hole like he used to. But it seemed like he would get to the hole, and he was kind of missing them easy bunnies he was always getting in the past. So I do agree. I think that there are times, in fact, there was some concerns that he was like 4-for-12 or 4-for-14 something shooting jumpers in the overseas games. I don't think he's going to have the bounce back. I pray that the guy, not as a fan, but or you know, of the Bulls necessarily, but just as a fan of basketball, I pray that the guy can get back to at least 90%. I don't know that he will be. I don't know that he'll be, and I say 90% of that MVP season. I don't know if he'll do that. I really question that. I think that, you know, it really hurt that they didn't get that second superstar, at least a scorer, this offseason. I mean, you know, you can look at, you know, the acquisitions they've got. You know, I don't see that being, you know, a major help him. He needs another 20 to 25-point score on nights that his jump shot is broke. So I do agree with you to an extent. Some of this may be rust, but I think a lot of it is also psychological. I mean, you blow out two different knees, man. It's hard for you to feel confident doing everything, as much as rehab as he's had. So we'll see.
That's true. That's very true. And the last thing on that and on the Bulls, and, yeah, I ain't going to lie. Yeah, my chest is pumped a little bit, man. I'm about due. It's at least like it's been 1964, Jerry. Let me have something.
Yo, you about right. After 50 years, y'all ain't won nothing. You, right. Now, you about right about that, Reg. You about right.
Okay,
man.
All right. Okay. So yeah. The last thing on them, man, the only thing that concerned me about the Bulls and why I feel for them, Thibodeau plays every game like it's a playoff game. And you can't do that. I mean, you got to learn how to rest your guys, man. The dude down in San Antonio, he got it down to a fine science. Thibodeau play every game like it's their last, man. And I think he just burns those dudes out. And by the time it gets to the end of the season, they ain't got nothing left in the tank, you know. So,
no, you're right.
That's all I – go ahead.
Okay, well, Reg, I appreciate the call. I'm going to try to get everybody a little bit of time here, and I appreciate the call. Let me have one last comment on Reggie's point. Reggie makes a great point. The beef about Thibodeau here in Chicago is that he does play his guys way too many minutes. The beef is that he plays them to a point where every game is dire, and God forbid you lose three in a row, you know. And so the concern has been over the years that at the end of the season, the guys are burnt out. So Reggie brings up a great point. And you know, only time will tell what he does with Derrick Rose. All right, back to the phone lines. Appreciate the call, though, Reggie. Back to the phone lines. I got somebody from the 717 area code.
What up, man?
What's going on?
Hey, this is Kay. This is Kay Dix. What's going on with you?
Kay Dix, what's happening with you, man? Tell us about the time and day of your show, because I love listening to it. Tell everybody out there.
7:30, 8:30 on Mondays.
7:30, 8:30 on Mondays on the same network of Talk to Me Sports Radio. What you got, Kay Dix?
Right before Monday Night Football.
My man. We get the prep show with you, man.
I tried to get on Ray's show, man. I was too late. I had basketball practice with the girls tonight, and I kind of missed the show, so I figured I'd try to get on yours.
I appreciate it, man.
Two things. Michael Sam, I think that I'm a Rams fan, so I paid a lot of close attention to what he did on the field, and I think his stats was better than the young man that they picked up, that they kept, Ethan Westbrook. His stats were a little bit better than his. But I think the reason why it had to be, they had to get one or the other. Okay, and I think he saw some other things that were in need of, and so they had to go somewhere else and get some other players too. I think it is a good possibility he probably would have tried to keep both of them, but there were some needs at some other positions. Like, they definitely need to get another backup quarterback, which they got Case Keenum, which is a good pickup. And I think they picked up another wide receiver or somebody like that, so that took away from Sam being on the team. My personal opinion, I think that Sam – He just got outplayed, you know. He just got outplayed game wise. I mean, he made some plays, but I mean, when they go back and look at the tape, it probably was some things that he should have done that he didn't do. And then he also said something about him being a practice player. The motivation wasn't there. The practice player, he gave it all during the games. I just think that, you know, it was a number of games. I don't think his sexuality had anything to do with him not playing for the Rams. I think it has something to do with him getting drafted, though, but I think that's just my personal opinion, because he was I can't remember the division he was in, but he was the linebacker of the
– He was in SEC, I think.
Yeah, he was the top linebacker, so that means he can play – he knows the game and can play the game, but when he comes to the pros, he's down lineman, so that's a little bit different player. You know, that's just my personal opinion. But like I said, I'm a Rams fan, so I do watch the game a little bit differently than other people watch the game. I don't think that his sexuality had anything to do with him playing for the Rams. I hope that he does go play for Dallas. I wish it was another team other than Dallas, because Dallas got enough circuses down there as it is now.
True. Hey, let me throw this at you real quick, man. You talk about stats, man. Now check this one out. He had 3 sacks in the preseason, all right? Out of the 12 players that had 2.5 sacks or more, check this out. Out of those 12 players, and I haven't verified, this is what I heard from somebody else. Out of the 12 players that had 2.5 sacks or more, 10 of those guys are on teams. One is on the practice squad. And the only one of those 12 that had over 2.5 sacks in the preseason is him. So,
right.
You know, you talk about stats, that kind of makes you wonder. Now, you know, you can't even make a practice squad. You got all these other guys. Now, I know the circumstances are different, and you can't look at just sacks because there's a lot more to the game than just that. But I just do think that's an interesting statistic while you're throwing around stats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree totally with you. You know, like I said, we don't look at the tape, so, like, there probably was something else that he should have done that he didn't do. You know, so it's a lot of things that go into it. You know, we're outside looking in. You know, and I mean, I you know, I'm just saying, we're outside looking in on the whole situation of why he didn't make the practice squad. But again, like I said, everybody know that the Rams got a deep line deep defensive line. You know what I'm saying? So it was going to be hard from the make it. But he definitely can play in the NFL. There's no two ways about it. He has the motor. He has the skills. It's just that if he came in as a linebacker, he probably made the team. You know, but as a down lineman, it was going to be a little rough for him because Laronitis, he got an ankle problem, you know what I'm saying? So they don't know if he's going to be – if they say he should be ready for the first game of the season. But he came in as a down lineman. So, you know, it is what it is. But I wish the young man plenty of success, you know, if football is his desire to play. And whoever he plays for, I hope he does well.
right, man. You on the record, brother. I appreciate the call, man. We got to definitely get back and call in on your show on next Monday, man, to kick off Monday Night Football. So look for me on that one, man. Enjoy your show as always, brother, on Monday nights. Appreciate the call, Kev.
All right, man. Take care.
Okay, now. Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's interesting hearing Kevin, because he's a Rams fan, so he's got a little bit different perspective. He's looking at it a little bit closer than the rest of us. I'm going to try to hit everybody with about 30 seconds, a little bit more. Back to the phone lines. Talk to me, Sports Radio.
What up, Jerry? This is Al from Chicago. What up, Jerry?
What's happening, Al? How you making out, man? I got
you.
What's going on?
I'm okay.
Good,
all right.
Good.
See, man, you know, your listeners are very informative. I like listening to people give you some other perspective or some other information that they you don't get on television right away or something. So they're very informative.
Appreciate it.
I want to say this thing about this this rule that they put down for domestic violence. You know, once again, the NFL is just like it's just another part of society. And when society starts to knock things down, then you either got to get aboard. Now, it is true when you hit these players with this money thing because they make that much money. That's how big that money is to them. But it also is costing the ownership and the NFL and all this. Just a lot of publicity. It's a lot of marketing. Their brand is starting to look bad. And so they're starting to get all these bad boys in the NFL that's doing all this stuff. They're making a bunch of money. But they're doing it, they're messing up their brand. So that's why they have to get to them and smack them down, get them hard penalties for the things that they're doing. Because they gotta make a stand. Now, I believe somewhere online, some things are going to get reduced. But I think the first thing was a shock value to folks to say, we are serious about this. And so we're going to hit you in your pocketbook. And if you're going to get in the NFL, you better start getting some counseling. If you was brought up to beat up on women, then you better go get some counseling or stay away from women somehow or some way. So I think that's what they don't want people demonstrating at their stadiums about domestic violence. I think that's why they get tough on those people.
App, you hit the point right there. They don't want the demonstrations because I think when they got the backlash from the last time when I'm trying to think, my man beat up his wife, his fiance. That's what they don't want. And I think that you hit on an extremely important point. It's about revenue, sadly enough. People try to act like it's all about morals and ethics. Yeah, some of it is that, but some of it is about the pocketbook. Yeah. And they don't want people, you know, women saying, look, we think if the NFL is like this, they said women make up a huge part of the audience. I think it's like 35-40%, which surprised me. So my point is they know what they're doing. So, hey, App, we appreciate the call. I know I hate to keep hitting everybody short tonight, but I'm trying to get everybody on for a few minutes because I know everybody's been holding. But you made a great point, brother. It's about the backlash. It's about ultimately revenue. And I do think that they're going to make some changes. Now, I do pray that people do make these changes just because it should be morally right, but I do think it's got a lot more to do with the other stuff. Appreciate the call, my man.
Hey, man. Take care. Hey, good show.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, my apologies to everybody. I'm trying to get everybody on, so my apologies. Trying to get all on. Back to the phone lines. We got Talk to Me Sports Radio. Talk to me.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Hey, Jerry, this is Andre, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on with you, man?
Just want to comment on a couple of things regarding Michael Sam.
Okay.
That was a football decision. Jeff Fisher, he's a stand-up guy. He's a former Chicago Bear. So I stand on what he said. With regard to Jim Irsay, I don't think that penalty was fair, but I think it should have been more. Be quite frank with you. I'm not sure.
How much more? What are you going to do to him?
Seven figures, Jerry. Because
okay.
If you remember, about 4 or 5 years ago, Bud Adams gave some fans the finger. He got $250. Bottom line, Jim Irsay should have got a seven-figure fine and a year ban. Because when you look at these players, when they get hit in the pocket, there's no chump change. For example, Aldon Smith, which I want to bring up, he's taken 9-game suspension, a lot of cheese out of his pocket. And to me, I think that the NFL needs to screen the players
that they want to protect their brand. It does not make sense that we have these top-line players, Josh Gordon, Alden Smith, who can't leave drugs alone, things like that. They need to screen the players. I love my African-American players, don't get me wrong. But at what point do you risk all of what you worked hard for? These guys make a king ransom for sports that you and I played as kids. And you can't leave marijuana alone?
It sounds easy, Andre, but think about people on your job or on my job that still smoke, and I'm not justifying it. I'm simply saying that because these guys are under a magnifying glass, because they're athletes, you see it a lot more, you hear about it. But there are people I'm 50 years old, there are people of my age that are still, hey, man, I know you ain't smoking a long time, Jerry, but I still smoke. And I'll be looking at them like, you 50 years old, you still smoking that stuff like it's like it was yesterday. So my point is it the athletes, or is it just this is society and people deem marijuana in Denver and other places like it's okay? Is it really an athlete problem?
Let me throw something at you, Jerry. Remember back in the 70s when the NBA had all their drug problems?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
The brand went down. There was one what they was going to do. Magic Bird came along, did something totally different, drug-free, drug this, drug that. Look at the NBA now. Maybe the National Football League should take a look at what the NBA did back in the 70s and clean up their act. Because like you said, domestic violence should not be tolerated. Should not be tolerated. What I would love to see, Jerry, with the football commissioner, he come out with a grid telling you what offense and what the punishment will be before the season starts. So you think before you act. I guarantee you. You would see a lot less foolishness.
I think you got something there. I will. I agree with that. I'm gonna have to let you go, Andre, because I'm gonna try to get a couple more calls in. But I agree with your point 100%. But I will say this though: that some people who are gonna smoke weed and think they can get away with it are gonna smoke weed and think they can get away with it. And as much as I agree with what you're saying, if you tell them ahead of time, here's what the penalty is gonna be. But you know, we got people out here in society that know the penalty of X, Y, Z, and they do it anyway. You got people on the job. You ain't supposed to have dirty emails. You're not supposed to have stuff that's scandalous on your email, and people do it anyway. So I agree with you. It would be nice to have that ahead of time, but society is made up of a bunch of people who think they can get away with something. And so I don't know how much that would change it. I think it would curtail it, but I still think a bunch of people are like, man, look, I know where to get that, to take that urine test. I'll be okay. Won't nobody know. So, hey, Andre, hit us up next week. I'm going to try to get you in early, man, because you bring up some good stuff, man. My apologies for not getting everybody on earlier, but we appreciate the call. You're a first-time caller, so I definitely got to get you back on, man.
Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Let's get to one last person. I'm sorry I didn't get to everybody this week, but I appreciate everybody's phone calls. Back to Talk to Me Sports, Jerry Carpenter Show. What we got?
Hey, good evening, Jerry. Keith Gerald here.
Keith Gerald, one of my all-time callers. What's going on with you, Keith?
Hey, I'm just going to make it quick tonight because I know I'm the last caller. First of all, when you were talking all that sports at the beginning of the show, yes, I've been on that long waiting. I noticed you didn't talk about golf, right? I noticed you didn't even mention golf, right? There was a FedEx championship, part of the FedEx playoff this weekend, and that just tells you where they are without Tiger Woods. Just the point
agree
there.
Agree 100%.
Okay, we're going to go past 100%. That now. What I want to do is get really just to the Michael Sams issue. And the bottom line is, Jerry, I heard all these people say Jerry Fisher's a stand-up guy, yada, yada, yada. You know, it was a football decision, but the fact is the man should have made the team. And if he didn't make the team, and I'm not saying he was the best out there, but he should have made the practice squad after what he did. And the fact that he didn't make the practice squad after putting up the numbers that he did kind of shows there was some bias there. Hey, he got picked up. You know, Dallas is going to give him a shot. But the fact of the matter is America is not ready for an openly gay player in the manliest of sports. That's the bottom line. Anybody that argues different is lying to themselves. It's just like saying, hey, a black man is handled by the police the same as a white man. And we know that's a lie.
So,
hey, we're down to the last few seconds. Finally, a caller that says what I've been wanting to say all show. I'm sorry we're out of time, everybody. Keith, my apologies. I have you on first next week. President Obama's on my other line, but Keith said pretty much what I want to say. I got to go, everybody. God bless.